if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed a festive hoy hoy. I'm Dan, this is BRB UK, episode 322 of Such, and it's another week. Another week.
Another
more
week.
Games. Another week. It begins on a Monday, took it for a drink on Tuesday, did stuff, and then we chilled out Sunday. It was all right, really.
Good story, bro.
Now, I don't know what it is. All right, by the way, that's Tim. Say hello,
hello
Tim.
Hello, hello, Tim.
The other one's Coleman. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi. Being the being from Portsmouth, Craig David is the natural enemy of myself, so...
Can I just say, this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I think Craig David's a dickhead.
Is Craig Davis your nemesis? Is that what
Craig Davis?
Craig Davis.
Craig Davis, Craig some Davis. Fella that grew up down the road from me.
Greg Davis, funny bloke. Craig David, plasticine-faced Muppet.
I don't mind Craig David so much these
really?
Days.
He's okay.
Why is he always got to? He's got to always has to remind himself of his name at the beginning of every song. Yeah, Craig David.
I think those were the early Daves. The early
Craig,
days.
He still
Craig
does it.
David. Does he still? I don't know. I haven't listened to
I think
any
he does.
Day stuff.
Well, he was on the radio the other day.
Was he?
Which I now listen to because I drive to work. I was like, wow, I forgot how much he annoys me.
Cool. Cool.
Well, I wouldn't say that to his face because he's like Wellard and stuff now.
Yeah, oh, he's built like a brick. What's it?
Brick poo house.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Yes. What?
Happy Super Smash Bros. Ultimate week.
Oh.
Can I just say, I have been so... I know you're going to talk about it later.
Yeah.
I've been so close to pulling the trigger on that.
Oh. And then we can fight each other on crappy netcode.
You know, Coleman's
excited. Come
back
to that later, yeah. But that noise, I like that noise.
Yes, you know, Coleman's excited when he reviews in noises.
It's like he sounds like a constipated yeti. It's amazing.
Well, no, you see, when you grow up in a seaside town like myself, naval town, whenever you get excited, you do have to make that the noise that of a foghorn.
Was that the mating call of a steamboat? Anyway, there were some awards this week, boys, apparently.
Oh, yes. Boy, howdy, were there.
Yeah, there were some awards, and there were some traders at the awards.
There was a blue furry who got some kind of award, and you seem super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A blue furry? Nice.
Yeah, they had,
did
like,
you, miss that?
You know, they
yeah.
used to do the Trending Gamer Award, and now it's like Gaming Personality or something.
Yeah. And God, I just Googled blue furry.
Yeah, he was, I think he's called it. Sonic Fox.
Yeah.
And he turned up, he went on stage to accept his award wearing his blue wolf costume, and it turned out to do a really nice speech. So, you know, there you go.
I don't furries.
Seemed quite shy for someone that's used to going on camera and playing to lots of people, but I guess...
Yeah, but you do that in your own...
gaming and
yeah,
being
if you do that
stage,
in your own bedroom and then stand on a stage
yeah,
in front
yeah,
of
yeah,
loads
that's
of
that's
people.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a different yeah. thing. Like, I think I'd be more worried the other way around. But anyway. But yeah, like... I don't know about you, like, did
he
you
didn't
guys
seem
watch
that scared. He had a big old smile on his face.
I obviously didn't stay up and watch the VGAs.
Now Coleman.
Did either of you actually watch at the time?
No.
Or I'm assuming
no.
I assume you watched
no.
the next day like I did, like a sensible person.
After last
I wouldn't
year,
even go as far to say that, mate.
after last year. I mean, I fall in and out with the VGAs, whether I'm going to enjoy that. Are they still the VGA? Are they VGX?
It's
are
not
they,
actually called
the Game
VGAs
Awards.
Anymore. It's just the Video Game Awards.
Video
it,
Game Awards. Okay.
It?
I kind sure. I kind of fall in and out of the these each year from whether they're going to reinvent themselves or not. And
I'm
last
still
year
being
I,
disturbed by pictures of furries on the
well,
internet.
Well, stop looking at them then,
Dan. Oh, God! I think, what the hell is that?
I think last year was the year that I kind of realised that there's just no interest in the awards whenever, like, no matter how many times they change them. So, like, furry won an award and God of War won Game of the Year. That's what I got.
Look, I've generally said over the years, I don't really care for award shows in general. Like, I like films a lot. I don't particularly care for the Oscars kind of thing. I mean, like, so it's not anything against award ceremonies necessarily. I like kind of catching up with the news and the announcements that came out from this, and that seems to be something that's generally big every year. For me, there wasn't that much that they announced that I cared about that much, but The one thing I think generally is that it feels like the right type of people to approach this thing in the right way and make it a celebration of video games, which I like the attitude of. And I also think that generally the way that their system works and the way they get, you know, audience to vote on things and everything, the winners are generally worthy winners that you can understand why they won in the category that they did, no?
Yeah, so just to shout out a quick couple of them. Unsurprisingly, Game of the Year, God of War.
God of War.
Good stuff.
Really thought it was going to be Red Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
I did actually think Red Dead was... I thought Red Dead would clear up on quite a few of them, generally.
That's it. I was thinking,
still got best narrative.
Yeah, yes. Well, I was taking the popular vote against I was taking what would be the biggest selling game, the game everyone is talking about currently, against a console exclusive. So I really thought that Red Dead would win that in the popular vote.
But there's a couple of other good chats, especially some indie games getting their way in as well. Best action game went to Dead Cells, which is fantastic.
Love it.
What else happened? Celeste got best games for Impact.
Yep.
But that means
Into the Breach got best strategy game.
Yes, which
I was pleased
is
to see that, because that is a great
thoroughly
game.
Deserved. Slightly randomly, Monster Hunter World got best role playing game.
You can kind of see why. I think it got forgotten about a little bit because it came out so earlier in the so much
I
earlier
call
in
it
the role year.
Playing, though.
Oh yeah, it's an RPG.
Yeah,
it's got a story.
Yeah. Has it though?
Witcher content coming, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
Yeah.
They've made a new story for it and everything.
Obviously, I was, you know, the VR category I think was really strong this year.
Oh, like, shut up!
No, seriously, like Tetris, most people thought would win. There was a chance, you know, for a good shout out for some other games as well. But Astrobot, a worthy winner there as well, I think. Mm. Having raved about that earlier in the year, I can see why that edged out Tetris. But yeah, I love both of them basically.
I think that one's just fresh in people's minds thanks to its subliminal messaging on Facebook ads.
Which one, Tetris or Astrobot?
Astrobot.
Okay.
Bloody I am Astrobot music. I hate that.
See, I don't have Facebook, so I've never seen it or been bothered by it. But hey.
Good. Were there any other awards, Dan?
I was just going to... I mean, you've already mentioned...
The big ones.
The big ones. Into the Breach, I think, is a blooming good shout. But otherwise, I thought it was a pretty good list, to be fair.
Yeah, that's what I say. They tend to... You know, as I said, the winners that they pick all seem, well thought out and worthy winners, basically. So, yeah.
I think it's because of the time of year it falls and because of the release dates of a couple of big games at the end of this year. Obviously stuff like Super Smash isn't anywhere near best fighting game or best family game or any of that. And
I'm pretty sure those results are done and dusted before Smash was even out.
Exactly. I would imagine Smash is going to do some serious clearing up of all of the shiny things
BAFTAs.
Next year.
Yeah, I think anything that wasn't in consideration for this year gets automatically qualified for next year, I think, is how they do it, from what I've seen.
Right. Anyway, let's talk about the real attractions.
But there were some trailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one on the back of a Ford pickup. That was great. I like that one. My personal favourite was the two-wheeler with the inexplicable Christmas llama in the back of it. I thought that was my favourite trailer.
I liked the one with the wires that went around the trailer to connect a licence plate and some new braking lights on the back of the trailer.
I always like
those.
I've got a serious question, though.
Yeah?
Serious question. What is the deal with llamas and Christmas? I don't understand.
That's never been a thing I've noticed.
But I was wandering around. Okay, then this is going to. I was wandering around TK Maxx the other day.
There's your first problem, Dan.
Yeah,
I know that. There's your problem. And there's flipping llamas everywhere. Christmas llamas.
No, I've not noticed.
Haven't
I mean,
you?
I try to stay. I work
in
central
Sparks
London,
well.
But I'm trying
Marks
to stay away from all the big shops.
Marks and Sparks taking stylistic guides from TK Maxx. What is the world coming to?
I don't know. Can we talk about these trailers?
I don't understand
anymore. Can we steer away from your
Seinfeld-esque
stand-up comedy from Dan?
It's broken Britain.
What's the deal with llamas?
Oh, no, right. Okay, 1990 called it once its stand-up routine back. I get it. Mortal Kombat 11.
Yay! Ed Boon came on stage and he announced a brand new racing game, which then cut into Mortal Kombat 11 instead, because everyone was like, what the hell was Ed Boon doing announcing a racing game?
Is it because it's got what's his face from Twisted Metal in it or something?
No, it's just Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
they were doing a fake out.
See, comedy, Dan. Comedy.
What's the deal with racing games?
What's the deal with clown dudes from racing games in a thing?
Yeah. Anyway, Mortal Kombat 11. We saw
gruesome trailer.
We saw two scorpions. We saw lots of gruesome stuff. We saw Raiden. Metal Gear. Raiden. Mortal Kombat. There we go. There's rumors of Pennywise the Clown being DLC. Todd McFarlane came out and said that he strongly believes Spawn's going to be in this. Ooh. So, yeah, if you like Mortal Kombat, lots to look out for with this one. I liked X, but I thought it was a bit too slow when compared to its Injustice counterparts.
I mean, did that actually show any gameplay, or was it just a pretty cinematic?
It was a pre-rendered cinematic.
Yeah, so you can't really tell.
And then swiftly following that, they announced a million special editions.
Of course they did.
Each more expensive than the last.
Yay. Of course they did.
I wonder if there's still paid for fatalities in this one.
It's not pay to win, it's pay to kill.
Pay to kill. Pay to rip out your opponent's heart.
Mate, it's not a game unless you can rip out someone's spleen from their backside.
Pay to maim?
You and me have very different opinions of Pokemon, my friend.
Well, you know.
Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe is a new version. Well, it's the same old Stanley Parable, but there's new endings and new paths and stuff that you can take within the game. And it's coming to consoles, though they haven't announced which consoles. I'm hoping Switch, because that's the only way I'm going to have the time to sit and play it.
You'd think so.
Yeah. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, that released, and very quickly they've announced the first DLC. Well, this will be the second DLC, because the Piranha Plant will be the first one. Joker from Persona 5. Now, I think Tim's the only one of us who's played Persona on the Vita?
Yep,
That was Persona 4 Golden, though.
Yes, but not 5, so yeah.
I don't know anything about this character, basically.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. I bet when they said Joker and then went on to say more words, you got more disappointed.
From Persona 5.
The more detail was added to that sentence.
It was kind of like that. I listened to a podcast and they went, Joker is going to be in Super Smash Brothers. I went, really? From Persona 5? Oh.
Because then you'd be hoping for Batman, wouldn't you, Coleman?
Yeah. Far Cry New Dawn. This is going to be... So, spoiler alert for the end of Far Cry 5. If you've not played it, you're not going to, trust me. At the end, they set off nukes and the whole place, it's nuclear warfare and all that happens.
They kind of spoiled that in this trailer.
Yeah. New Dawn, everything gets nuked, and this is the new post-apocalyptic world. The antagonists in this one are two twin sisters, and it seems to be the same map from 5, but they've changed certain aspects of it, so areas that you could go to could now be sunk and underground, or new kind of shanty towns in place. It's pretty much what they did with the... was it Far Cry Primal?
Mm.
Yeah, where they used the same map from Far Cry 4 and then built upon it, only they're actually telling us this time, and the internet didn't figure it out first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's quite... cool that they're taking what happened in that game and then taking that story on into a new, like, it feels a bit more tied in than the whole, you know, Primal stuff was before. No?
I'll be interested to see if this comes out at a reduced RRP, because that's what they did with Primal. I don't know the main reasoning for it. I'm assuming because it's not the same kind of Far Cry game that you're used to, and it was essentially a 2.5 version. That I think it retailed for 30, 35, something like that. So I'll be interested to do the same with New Dawn.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's coming out pretty sharpish. It's coming out in February, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe.
That sounds about right.
And also, there was some gameplay footage that's found its way out as well. It's not too many hints about, you know, anything other than we've already mentioned. But, I mean, is the same antagonist, you know, the father, is he still there?
This is in the far future. Like, the nukes have gone off.
Far future.
Yeah, the world is ravaged. The world is now reborn. There's new... It's not a grim, dark, post-apocalyptic Fallout-type world. It is green and lush and blue and bright colours and stuff. Think more Rage 2 than Fallout.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was... isn't it... not that long after. It's like 17 years after Far Cry 5.
I thought it was meant to be further after. I don't know.
No, I'm looking at Wikipedia, which could be wrong.
After I dropped off Far Cry 5, I don't think I'm going to be picking this one up, basically. So.
Yeah, they lost you.
Anyway. Move on to the next one, because that's the one I'm most excited about.
Sorry, Marvel Alliance 3, The Black Order.
Yeah!
Marvel Alliance 2 was the last... Marvel Alliance 2, the Civil War type game, loosely based off the Civil War comic book storyline. There's now finally a sequel to it, because that was a while ago as well.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a Switch exclusive.
Huzzah!
Because Nintendo's publishing it.
That's all excellent. Really cool news, though. Like, the fact that they've done what they seem to do with Bayonetta, I thought they might have abandoned those sorts of plans, but resurrecting a series and bringing it to Switch as an exclusive, really good fit for the Switch as well, and... I really liked the previous games, and really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, Switch is a good fit.
It's got a great aesthetic as well.
Yeah, those are really fun co-op games, Diablo style, but with basically like the Marvel MMO that was very shortly lived.
But
fun.
A bit more polished than that, and a bit more like team-up moves and stuff kind of thing.
Yes, I forgot about team-up moves. I loved that. And Thanos, so there you go.
No, and this looks like it's going to be corking fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And
it's
you know, Diablo 3 is officially the hotness on Switch, and I think this will be a perfect little pick up and play game as well. So, good stuff. Well done, Nintendo.
Yeah, Hades. This is the new game from Supermassive Games.
I keep on really meaning to play their games and never quite getting around to it. They
really?
All look really
You've never
nice.
Played a Supermassive game?
No, but they all look like things I would enjoy playing, and I just never got around to it.
I believe you got into Bastion a bit more than I do, if I remember from you talking about it on the show before, Dan.
Yeah, and I also really got into Transistor as well.
They both look really good.
I think you can pick them up for not much cash on the Switch at the moment.
If you've been picking up all your PS Plus titles, you'll probably have both of them.
Already. Sounds like something you might.
Yeah.
But
I have several
both.
Copies of of their first game, like on iPad. I've got it on Vita. I've got it on PC. I've got it on PlayStation 3. I've got several copies of that one.
But Hades looked good, no? Like, I liked the setup. It looked much in the same vein as their previous games a little bit, but just with a different theme and setting and story, but no bad thing. And probably, I would imagine a different take on the mechanics of it as well.
Yeah, they make very charming games, and this looks to be in the same vein. Dragon Age 4, The Dreadwolf, the long-awaited Dragon Age sequel, has been announced, but we don't know much about it.
Well, it depends. I mean, arguably, Dragon Age 2 and 3 did their best to put people off the series, if you ask any hardcore fans.
The hardcore fans seem to... From what I get, they love Origins, they love 3, they don't like 2.
Mm. So, 2, I thought was all right. It was a bit more action-y, but I didn't mind it so much.
I get why people fell off with it.
Although I noticed with the trailer for this, there was a bit of a Mass Effect riff, I thought, to the music initially. I was like, oh, hello.
Well,
funny that being a BioWare game and all.
I know, right? I was like, you're not having any more Mass Effect because we broke that franchise.
Well, you never know. If Anthem crash and burns hard enough, we may never get a Dragon Age 4, but hey.
Yeah. I think they're looking at, I think it's rumoured 2021 for Dragon Age 4. Yeah. So this could very well be a next-gen console or game.
That's also true.
Yeah. But there we go. We got a teaser and a voiceover from the big tall baldy elf. I forget his name. Jeff the elf.
Jeff. Bob. Jeff Bob. Bob the elf.
Scavengers.
Yes.
Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Post-apocalyptic snow. Post-apocalyptic is the new genre.
Yes.
Is the new go-to genre.
It's replacing visceral procedural roguelike, I suppose. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, like... That's one thing. With this and the next game that we're talking about in a minute as well, with Fallout, is a really bad time for Fallout to fall on its face.
It's a bad time for Fallout to be a bit naff.
Well, the post between all these games, Far Cry, Scavengers, Outer World, arguably possibly even Metro coming next year, and Rage 2. The post-apocalypse got really crowded all of a sudden, and just as Fallout is falling flat on its face and not doing so well, like really bad timing there.
And with Just Cause 4 not performing too well, it's less and less likely we're going to get that Mad Max sequel, I reckon.
It's a real shame because that was really good, and if they did it concentrated on that world, maybe. I don't know if there's a new film coming up. There was rumours of it. I don't know what's happening with that now. But
no.
But yeah, it'd be good to do both. But I'd really like to see a sequel to that Mad Max game more anyway. Than I'd like to see other stuff. But yeah.
I have a question. Are any of us willing to take one for the team and actually play Fallout 76?
No.
Good. Right. Yeah. Fine.
I don't know. Do you know what? I might revisit in 6 months when it's on stupid sale. And
Dude, it was on stupid sales about 3 days after it came out.
I'm talking about down the line if they patch the holy hell out of it and made it fun. Yeah. Like, what was the... There was the Black Ops Wildlands. Then when they released that was really glitchy and horrible and there wasn't a lot to do and people didn't really like it. I waited. They added the Predator to the game. I picked up a copy for a tenner and I was really happy with it. So I might do the same with Fallout 76 down the road. You know, never know. Never know what holds in future for games. Just look at No Man's Sky.
Yes, well, quite exactly. The game that just keeps on coming back and
keeps
giving because it didn't give you enough in the first place.
Different reasons to fall out. The Outer Worlds is Obsidian's new title. Yeah. Obsidian recently got purchased by Microsoft. This game was planned before the purchase, so this will be a multi-platform title. If you don't know who Obsidian are, they made that their new Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, a lot of people say that's the best recent Fallout as well, and the only one I haven't played. But
I mean, what's really interesting to me is well, there's some quite pointed things in the trailer. Like, it makes it very clear it's from the original creators of Fallout.
Yes.
So, none of this Fallout 76 nonsense. None to do with us.
Well, it's from the original creators of Fallout 1 and 2, so before they even went first person and with Bethesda, so that's interesting itself, because those original, Overscope-type games, they were very funny. They have a lot of dark humor in that game that didn't transfer over to the first person as well. So it'll be interesting to see that writing going into a new title.
Yeah, and I always said that was my biggest problem with the Fallout universe. It was my biggest problem playing more time in 4, but even as much as I liked 3, it was a problem that I had with it, is that it's such a horrible, oppressive place to be that you don't want to spend a lot of time there, and that isn't what I necessarily want from a video game.
Yeah, but Liam Neeson's your dad, so all's good.
Okay.
Excellent. That was the video game awards, or the game awards, or the VGAs, or the VGX,
some games were there, and they got some prizes and stuff.
Oh, look at our pretty trailers. By the way, some awards are here too.
Yeah.
There we go.
Go on then.
What's that?
Street Fighter V ads. They look rubbish.
You mentioned this very briefly before we started recording. I've been out of the loop. This was meant to be my first day off today, and I still ended up working in 2 weeks. What the hell's going on with these ads? I've heard nothing about this.
Yep, so apparently Capcom have implemented an in-game advertisement system in Street Fighter V Arcade Edition to pretty much just promote DLC and the Street Fighter Pro Gaming Tournament. And basically, it's like, you know, remember those really, really crap temporary tattoos that you could get when you were a kid?
Yeah.
They've just slapped them all over everything.
Oh, God, they have.
So it's quite blatant. It's like, you know, that really iconic Akuma pose with like the kanji on the back of his of his robe. They've done that, but instead of the kanji symbol, it's just a big Street Fighter Capcom Pro Tour advert.
I don't see such a big problem with this. When you said ads in Street Fighter, I thought, oh my God. I thought we were expecting like WWE levels of advertising where they put like trophies sponsored by Snickers and, you know, all that kind of stuff in there. It's fine. It's promoting their tour. It's promoting like Ryu's on the blibbing logo. It's fine. I don't see a big problem with it.
All right. I thought it looked crass.
When you say advertising, I thought they were trying to get more revenue out of the game that, you know, if you did go for Street Fighter V and then pick up the DLC along the way and then get the arcade edition and then get more DLC, you've spent way over £200 on this game. So if they were trying to make revenue out of it, then I'd be a bit narked off because I'm the idiot who fell for it all. But
Who knows what they're doing?
They're advertising their tour. They want people to watch people play the game. I'm fine with that.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'll just be a grumpy old
That's fine. I mean, there's worse crap happening in video games for me to worry about.
Well, there's worse crap happening in the world, really, frankly.
Kids are into gambling more than ever, thanks to loot boxes and FIFA Dream Team or whatever the hell that thing's called. So,
for some reason, Rees-Mogg is the bloody moral compass of this country.
Have you noticed he looks a bit like you?
He does not look like me.
Well, he looks a bit like a posh Tory.
He's older, so you'd look a bit like
Which
him.
Which I am not. I'm not a posh Tory person, thank you, bro. I've never voted Tory in my goddamn life, and I don't plan to start doing it anytime soon.
I think we should do a side-by-side comparison.
You know it counts as voting Tory when your butler registers your vote for you, Daniel. Yeah?
Could we just put you in a suit, head you off to Downing Street...
And you try can just take over the
see
country.
If you just walk in through the door and then be like, right, I really think we should give this Brexit thing another think over. Maybe give it another look in, eh?
I've got your campaign slogan right here, Dan. Just free video games. They'll get you a lot of votes.
Right. I think that I might need a little bit more of a thought through policy than free video games. So that's it. I go to Brussels. I'm going to renegotiate the Brexit treaty. I'm
sorry, going, right, okay. Free video
all
games.
All right, Juncker. All right, Jean-Claude Juncker. I've got something for you. Shut your face. Here's a free copy of Street Fighter V with all the adverts taken out because I like you.
Considering, like, on various points of the show, Tim's been called stupid, and Dan's basically called me an inbred fish monster. I think that's the harshest thing that's ever been said on the show. Dan looks a bit like
Rees-Mogg.
I do not look like Rees-Mogg.
If you said he is a bit like Rees-Mogg, that might be worse.
Yeah, I didn't say he had his mannerisms.
The problem is, no, I'm not going to go much on who I think Rees-Mogg looks like. All I'm going to say is just add a pencil moustache to him, all right?
I don't even think he looks that much like Charlie Chaplin, mate.
Yeah, I know. Good shout, Tim. Good shout. Anyway, Tim, you sweet summer child. Anyway, talk about there's a showcase. There was another showcase, kind of funny. They showcased some stuff. There was some stuff in the stuff, and tell us about the stuff.
Well, this was the thing that they kind of stepped in and said, they're saying that they missed the fact that there was going to be no PlayStation
experience. Because they usually get on stage and do a show.
And there's some big game announcement there by Sony normally, but then there's also usually like space for some small indie devs to announce stuff as well. So they kind of said, well, look, we're going to step in and give a platform to do this. And they ended up getting, I think, 69, not necessarily announcements, but 69 games that were featured in the stream. that some of them kind of presented a release date or a bit more information about a game. There was a couple of VR things which we covered in a VRB episode, so that's hopefully coming out soon, and you'll be saved having to listen to that, Dan. You'll be pleased to know.
VRB.
Yeah, I just picked out a few highlights. There's quite a few things that obviously was 69 games, so I didn't necessarily pick out my personal highlights, but what I think is a selection of the top things to come out of that, basically.
Cool.
So shall I prattle through?
Hit us with your announcement stick.
Question me on the way. So, the game that was previously known as Project Judge, coming from Square Enix, I believe,
Square Enix.
Is now Judgment.
Okay.
And is coming in the winter of 2019.
Good.
But yeah, I'm still semi-interested in that. It looks a bit, Phoenix Wright meets kind of...
Jeff Bridges.
What?
Jeff Bridges.
Not Jeff Bridges.
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
I'm trying to think, what's the Japanese-style GTA game we were discussing with Rick a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Yakuza.
Jeff Bridges. Yakuza, yeah.
It's I love the way Tim just said,
Jeff Bridges. Super Meat Boy Forever was announced. I'm not the biggest Super Meat Boy player, as it's a super hard platformer, but I know a lot of people love it. And this looks, from what I know of the game and what I've seen before, this looked like to add a mechanic where you're able to like kind of punch things and keep on comboing those punches to get past more jumps and stuff. That's not a mechanic I'd seen in Super Meat Boy before.
Mm.
So I think that was new. But yeah, that looked interesting. I said April 2019 for the release date of that.
I don't have the patience for Meat Boy anymore.
I've never had the patience for Meat Boy. So hey.
I did when it was on Newgrounds, but then it got harder.
It's one of those games that I can accept. Yes, that looks like a really great game that is not made for me.
Yes.
The other one, next one was Storm Divers, which is a kind of sci-fi battle royale game coming from Housemarque.
Yay!
Interesting. Mm. Especially as they said, arcade is dead. Arcade is dead, long live battle royale, by the looks of things, is where they're going with that.
Okay.
So, you know, they didn't show too much, but be interesting to see how that one kind of shapes out.
Do you know what I want to see? I want to see an inverse battle royale. I want to see...
with llamas?
No. 100 people drop 100 onto the island. 100 llamas parachuting onto an island. And if you're the first one to die, you get a biscuit.
Oh.
But what the island is, it's a health and safety nightmare where everything's like wrapped in bubble wrap. There's nothing you can fall off. And you've got to find really creative ways to kill yourself.
Surely
and the first one who does it wins.
Surely the inverse of a battle royale would be one person in a tiny section of the map, and then as the map expands, more people spawn in.
Nah, whatever. You and your good points.
You just gave away a perfectly good idea there.
It's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Don't do that.
My idea was better.
It's an awful idea.
Bloody millennials.
And a microtransaction.
I do like
anyway,
biscuits.
The next one is a little game called Moving Out from SMG Studios, who previously made Death Squared.
Oh, yeah.
Looks a bit like Overcooked just for moving your house.
Yes.
Like, there's lots of like trying to negotiate with someone else. It looked like a game better played in co-op, but lots of like you and someone else picking up a couch and try and get it across a road of traffic, or you know, just look different obstacles and stuff to moving furniture about, basically. Looks silly and fun, possibly.
I look forward to that.
Now, this one I urge you to go and watch a trailer for. Like,
okay.
I probably won't do it justice in its description, but it's
almost
a game
certainly
called-
not
No, probably not, because it's me. But game called Ape Out. This looked really stylishly interesting. Not the necessarily type of game that you played before. I'd urge you and Coleman to actually go and have a look at a trailer while I'm waffling on for a minute as well. But yeah, coming from Devolver Digital, will be out February the 7th, 2019 on Switch and PC.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it's a mostly overhead view in a kind of flat shaded, like very mono and duo toned, like, well, or, you know, limited color kind of thing, color palette, where you're an ape trying to escape from a building, and there's lots of like security guards that you can grab and use their guns to shoot other people. And it looks very, a bit kind of visceral, for want of a better word, but there's a lot of blood splatter going on within
literally
the simple
visceral
kind of graphics.
What's
literally visceral.
What's the game? It's like top down and you kill loads of people and it's got really cool soundtrack.
Yes, that's the one I was trying to... It's the one where everyone dressed was the chicken head thing.
Yeah, what's that called? I really
Hotline
that.
Miami.
Hotline Miami. Yes.
Okay, it's Hotline Miami with a gorilla.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
But also with a kind of, with a different art aesthetic.
A different
ass.
Is that where the microtransactions are? You can customize your ape's ass.
Yes, exactly.
No, you're going to have one of the big red ones?
But just
that's
with a really strong
option.
Simplified art style that looks really cool. As I said, go and have a look at a trailer and see what I mean. But yeah, look, that looks really interesting. And I will definitely be picking that up on Switch myself.
So yeah, that's a Switch one for me.
Yeah.
You can play the trailer, apparently. This sounds...
There you go. And then there was a couple of things that were announced as and out now type of thing, like as in the games that actually moved their release date to line up with the kind of funny showcase, which was quite cool. One of the one that I'll highlight there is a friend of the show, Mr. Mike Bithell.
Hi.
Bithell Games released Quarantine Circular on the Nintendo Switch.
Hooray.
Thing. So yeah, that is out there now. I picked up the previous game in that series and have yet to play it yet.
Well done,
I keep
you.
On meaning to.
But just keeping up that tradition of Mike Bithell's games come out and you don't play them.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But at least I buy them these days. I played Volume. I liked Volume. That
okay.
Was good.
Yeah, I still love Volume.
In non-VR in VR. And in it had Loading Bar in there, which is quite cool.
I was going to say, I could do a re-release of Volume on Switch, but wasn't that a PlayStation thing?
Yeah, I think there was some...
I think it was.
I might have to dust off the Vita.
I don't know if that was just a period of exclusivity, though, possibly. Anyway... but yeah, the big one that they kind of finish on as well, again, not really something that I care about, but I know a lot of other people do, the Walking Dead Telltale series, the final series, episode 3, Broken Toys, which, you know, that took our trailer just to get through the title, basically. But again, don't care, but I know a lot of people really wanted to see the ending of this story, so
Hello.
Good to see that it's on the way. I think the only real surprise there was the actual, well, you know, surprise, but the only real reveal was the name of the episode title itself, because everyone knew this was kind of coming. But yeah, good to see a trailer for it and that it's actually a thing for those people, that it's, you know, something that is coming into existence But yeah, and you know, not a bad note to finish on.
See, I didn't start it because all the stuff happened, and I haven't finished season three yet. I think it's season three. But that season three is actually really, really good. From the, I think I'm four episodes into that one. That's really good. So now I know I can finish, you know, when they finally get all these episodes out, now I know I can actually finish the story of Clementine. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, more likely to pick up the rest of it as well.
Yeah, sort
of.
I'm invested.
Cool. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think they did well with what they had, and it seemed to be a reasonable list of games and had some interesting stuff on it. They presented it quite casually, and I think that kind of worked quite well for it. But yeah, like, it was quite well done, quite interesting, and something that I can... Yeah, kind of funny, but something I could see them possibly doing again in the future, because, you know, they made a success of this one, then hopefully that goes from strength to strength. So yeah, all good.
Excellent.
Splendid. Anyway, points of interest. There are some this week. In addition to aforementioned news, The Division 2 has a technical alpha that has been announced, but don't get too excited. Why, I hear you ask? Because they've already pre-selected the players. It's PC only. It's 15th to 18th of December. And even if you were on it, you couldn't tell anybody anyway, because they'll send goons around your house.
They are doing a beta test soon, and that's going to be for more your PlayStation, PC, Xbox type players, but I think it's for pre-orders, which I never get. You want to get a taste of the game before you put your money down, and they go, okay, so put your money down and you can have a taste of the game.
What do you think, if it was a taste, it would taste like, Coleman?
I mean, I've played the game, so it would taste like headshots.
Right, and what do they taste like?
Victory.
I don't know. Let's come back to this another time.
Right. Okay.
Army rations. Good. That's what it would taste like. Army rations.
Pot noodles.
It would calorie mate. It would taste like calorie mate.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
It's not
thing.
A beautiful thing. It tastes like powder.
No, it's not. I was being a bit sarcastic. Anywho, it's not just Division 2 that's been used. There's Soul Calibur is getting some DLC as well. Near Automata's 2B.
Or not 2B.
Not to be confused with her sister, HB.
You did that joke last time.
I know, right? She's finally making her Soul Calibur 6 debut on December 18th, so that's coming soon. Did either of you guys pick
up? I bought it
Soul
for Tim
Calibur
for
6.
His birthday. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, good. Tim. Did you say you got the season pass for it, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought the season pass. I do like me some Soul Calibur. We should play more of that at some point as well. But we did play quite a lot for Extra Life.
Yes. This kind of continues this weird current trend that I think Tekken 7 started, but it's sticking other characters from different games into your fighting game and then putting up the logo with the cross that game.
I prefer that to selling back characters that were already in the game previously.
Like Tekken 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Well, no, because the season one of Tekken 7's DLC was, here's a bunch of characters from different games. Here's a guy from Final Fantasy. Here's a guy from a different fighting game. Here's a guy from... And that was really cool. Then they went, here's season two. It's all the characters we didn't bother putting in the game.
In the last game. It's like,
I mean, they've made some improvements. But anyway, so that's very cool. And that's another guest character coming to a different fighting game, like with Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Tim.
Yeah.
Sonic movie. They're doing a Sonic movie. But do you remember that Ninja Turtles movie, right? Where they tried to make them a cool life icon. It was just like a massive tankard full of nightmare fuel.
I don't care about Sonic that much. I've never been the biggest platform fan, but it is an iconic thing of my youth, and so I care about it that much, to that degree.
Right. I mean, all of you who have seen this movie poster, they've tried to make him look lifelike, and it's flipping terrifying.
What I'm saying is, I had a similar thing with Turtles, obviously. The Turtles other poster, that didn't offend me. For some reason, this offends me.
Well, it's his slightly weird thighs. And where have his eyes gone? That's the thing. One of the most iconic things about Sonic is like the silhouette with his big eyes.
Right. I also know it's not just me, because I've seen quite a few kind of memes created from this type of thing and generally like concentrating on this area. But it really does look like his left knee is a big, massive dong. Once you've seen it, you cannot unsee it.
Yep, that's a chode. Yep, that's definitely it is a hedgehog chode using trying to impregnate a red sneaker.
He's got short legs and a massive stiffy.
There's your episode title, ladies and gentlemen.
But it looks so wrong. Like I saw it online, and one of my first questions is, where is his balls? Like that was my first. I was like,
that's your first question with this. I mean, there is so much wrong with
but
this.
But like. Yeah.
And apparently Jim Carrey's Dr. Robotnik as well, so...
Yeah, I know. I had some faith that this might be amusing and they might do it some sort of justice somehow. This...
Oh, I think this is going to be a bag of steaming arse. I really do.
Well, this poster just makes me go, well, at least I can laugh at something for 90 minutes.
Really? I don't even think it's going to be so bad it's good.
Well, I'm hoping they go all in and it is. Go all... If you're going to go with... massive dong Sonic, then go all in.
Right, okay, so right, good. I'm not really sure where to go from that after you're talking about hedgehog dongs.
No, I do have a big problem with this that I've discussed with other people. It's not just the dong that bothers me, okay? Like the other thing is he does look furry, and I don't mean that in an attack to the furries. We were talking about perfectly happy to do that, but right. He's a hedgehog. He should be spiky, not furry.
There's just so much. Any kind of anthropomorphic CG animal just looks wrong. It's nightmare fuel. It is absolute nightmare fuel, this thing. And why is all this steam coming off him? What's he been doing?
Well, running really fast, obviously.
Right, okay. But it's okay because it's from the producer of Fast and the Furious. So,
and a whole new speed of hero. I'll reserve judgment until we see a proper trailer, but for now, I'm my only hope for this is that they go, as I said, all in and make it as terrible as they possibly can to make it as entertaining in that way as it possibly can be.
I hope so. Thanks, Hollywood, ruining our childhoods. God damn it. Anywho, we ought to talk about what we done played. Now, I would talk about what I done played, but all I can tell you is that I was in the Anthem Closed Alpha.
Ooh.
That's all I'm allowed to tell you.
I could see via Discord that you were all talking about the alpha.
Are you even allowed to say that, Dan? Have you checked that much?
I know. I did check the NDA. I'm allowed to say I participated in the Anthem Closed Alpha.
Okay. Cool. So remember when I was in the Doom Alpha, I wasn't allowed to say that.
Ask me anything. Ask me anything.
Yeah, were you in the alpha for a game by BioWare where you have Iron Man jetpacks?
If by that I can answer by saying I was in the Anthem alpha.
There you go. Cool.
It's a bit like, remember that Father Ted sketch where all he could say was that would be an ecumenical matter? That's all I can say.
Oh, about there you go, that'll do fine. How did you find the alpha, Dan?
Well, that would be an ecumenical matter.
Perfect. Tim, what have you been playing?
Right. Well, I've not been able to talk about playing this game for a couple of weeks, and I have been playing it for a couple of weeks, plugging away. I'm quite pleased to be able to talk about it now. It is out, so you can get a copy, but a game called Everspace. Previously came out on, I believe, Steam. It was definitely on PC in general, and on PS4 and Xbox. And it's a game that I looked at previously when it came out on the PS4 and did think about picking it up, and the only reason I didn't, I was like, oh, I wonder if they'll do anything with VR in this at some point. I'd prefer like my space games in VR at the moment, so I generally
sorry Tim, I have to interrupt you. Colin, I had a real moment there imagining Tim doing a bit of a Zooey Deschanel, like, you know, remember that Apple iPhone advert, Siri, is it raining? I just had an image of Tim doing that with Everspace for some reason. Never mind.
Sure.
I thought it was funny. It's the image that popped into my brain.
I was like, hey, wow, this is probably my game of the year, Red Dead Redemption 2. You should really give it a try, Tim. He goes, let's see if there's any VR coming first.
but anyway, Everspace was coming to the Switch. I was lucky enough to get a review code for it, so I've been playing it for a couple of weeks because it's only just come out a couple of days ago, but I've been plugging away it for a while. And yeah, it's a really good kind of roguelike space exploration. I believe you can be in first person. I've generally been playing it in third person behind the ship type thing.
Casual.
It's
playing it in novice mode, like, too. It
basically,
but you didn't even invert the stick, did you, Tim?
It's kind of got a story kind of threaded throughout it, but you basically you're playing the part of a clone, and every time you die, you get, you know, another clone gets made, and you have to kind of start again from the beginning. But it's, yeah, there's a really kind of deep upgrade system that you can spend the money from the run that you've been on, but you have to spend all that money at that time. The next time you come back, that will have been wiped, and whatever you get from the next run will be what's available, basically. So there's no kind of like building up a cash reserve or anything. You have to just invest in what you can afford at that time. And that's based on like how far you got in the run, how many other ships you destroyed, which generally give you a reward of credits, and just how many credits you picked up. And there's a lot of like exploring the like, it's broken down into kind of sectors, and then between the sectors there's like maybe four or five different sort of regions that you travel through that, yeah, it, like everything is upgradable, including like the map that guides you through the universe. Initially you just are like blindly stumbling from one place to the next, but once you've upgraded that map a bit, you can actually see the threat level of the area that you're traveling to, so you can choose your course more wisely and avoid the more troublesome areas if you don't fancy them, sort of thing. And the further you upgrade the map, the more detail it gives you, and the more things you can avoid. But yeah, like everything in the game, like the ship's speed and the amount of energy and the amount of hit points you can take, and all the like weaponry slots that are available to you are all upgradable. But then you can also find equipment and other things that will upgrade your weapons and your basic primary weapons and stuff within the game. Like, I was a bit iffy on the controls at first, but once you get used to them, they actually work really well. Like the
novice mode.
Well, it's a bit weird. Like, to propel yourself forward, you hold down the left trigger, but if you want to move the ship like vertically up and down in space, that's just on the left analog stick. So that took a bit of getting used to. I kept on like holding down the left thing and then kind of going upwards as I was trying to go forwards as well, kind of thing. But once you get used to it, it's a really kind of nimble system that allows you to kind of really like fly quite intricately, reasonably fast and zippy, and get around. And it leads to some really good dogfights with the kind of outlaws that you're generally battling against. You also kind of have alliances with different like clans and factions that are in different areas. But you can kind of go, well, I'm just going to break that faction while I steal all those credits from you from now. And they'll actually chase you through different sectors and stuff like that. The story kind of advances. Oh, well, they'll chase you from region to region. But the story advances as you move through different sectors. And that kind of, the kind of bigger points and kind of advances the story and moves you on. But generally, yeah, it's a lot of kind of plugging away and going back in and unlocking new ships and then upgrading those ships and kind of progressing through the universe ever so slowly, to the point where I've been playing it on and off for those 2 weeks and I'm still feel I've got a lot of the game to go. I think it's about £35-36 at full price, and that seems semi-expensive perhaps, but I think there is quite a lot of game there, and the kind of base game feels you know, made to a high standard and kind of well executed, like graphically, and just the score's quite good, and the user interface and everything's quite well done. And yeah, like I kind of recommend it for that. It, even though it's a roguelike and that would seemingly get a bit dull possibly, every time that you're going from one region to another in every playthrough of the game, it's different anyway. So even though it's there's some repetition, it feels like you're going to a new kind of, not necessarily a whole universe, but a small kind of cluster of solar system, or there's usually like an arrangement of some kind of space stations and mineable ores and like different bits and bobs that you can discover in the galaxy. Or in one of the regions. I'm possibly using the wrong word for region, but you get the idea of that, like maybe not the word they use in the game. But basically, if you stay in one region for too long, a force will come and like forcibly push you out, basically. So,
I'm getting a bit of an FTL vibe from this. Did either of you guys play FTL?
It's more like immediately in the ship, like dogfighting.
Yeah,
fighting,
I know. It's more like you're piloting the ship, but it's kind of you're trying to get from one end of the galaxy to the other to do hero space things.
Basically, you need fuel to jump from one region to another, but you also need to be aiming at a jump gate to jump through it. And at some points, like, it'll block your ability to be able to scan for that jump point, and you've got to find the thing that's blocking you before you can progress. But otherwise, you can generally just jump from section to section if you want. But it's usually a good idea to explore around and get as much as you can out of that universe, have a few dogfights at that level, upgrade your ship a bit, and then kind of move on, basically. But yeah, like, I really recommend it. I think it's, as I said, really well done, and like, it's very replayable, and I've really enjoyed replaying it, and will be playing it for some time to come, I think, kind of thing. Like, it's yeah, really that good, and it ticks a lot of boxes for me. I like space games, I like dogfighting game type things, and I've been really enjoying it, so I can recommend.
Good. And I believe it's also available on PS4, PC as well.
Yeah, and I think you probably find it cheaper than it is on the Switch at the moment. I do think it's quite well suited to the Switch, but it'd be as playable on either of the other systems and on Steam as well, basically. So, yeah, pick it up wherever you can find it. Especially if you find it cheaper than that price, it's definitely worth picking up as well.
Yeah, I'll probably have the purchase on PlayStation especially, because when the sales come up, they tend to drop that down to about £5.
So. Yeah, definitely pick it up for that sort of price, because I would have thought you'll definitely get your money's worth out of it. As I said, control system takes a little bit of getting used to, and you need to upgrade your ship a bit before, you know, a lot of roguelikes, it's really tough at first, but yeah, really enjoyable.
Okay.
Splendid. Anyway, Coltman.
Hi!
You've been playing a game.
A game?
That, yes, you have.
Yep.
That I've nearly pulled the trigger on a couple of times, but I don't know if I'm too old to understand what the bloody hell is going on. And that game is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Super Smash Bros. Ultra! It's out now, and I've picked it up, and I freaking love this game, and it is the perfect companion on the Switch for me to take on the tube, because I do spend a lot of time on the tube, and it's everything that... If you've ever liked a Smash Bros. Game, and you're like, I wonder if it's got this. Yes, it's got it. They've got everything. Everything in this Smash Bros.
So
game.
So is it, like, rather than kind of a brand... All of it is a new game, derp. But, is it kind of like the definitive edition of Smash rather than a brand new Smash game in and of itself?
From what I understand, and I might have this wrong, but from what I understand is it's the Wii U version of the game. They then added in every character that's ever been in Smash Brothers, plus new characters, plus these alpha character, the second skin type characters, like you got your Ken and what have you. Then loads of new game modes and an RPG. So
it shined it up real nice.
Yeah, so it's like they went, okay, we really need you to crimp out Smash Brothers on the Switch. And they went, we'll get to that ready for launch. And then 2 years after the Switch launch, they went, all right, we finished it. What the hell's all this stuff? It's really good. It is the definition, the definitive version of this game. And when you start up, because there's loads of games modes and stuff that I won't get into absolutely everything, because there's just so much stuff in this game. But when you start up, there's a roster of only 6 characters, and it's the original, was it 6 or 8? I can't remember. But it's basically the original lineup of the N64 game. And then from then on, you have to unlock all your characters through various different means. There is a mode where you can literally just go in there and fight new characters. There is, the new adventure mode, the Spirit of Light, I think, World of Light, that was it, where you can unlock characters in there, and when you unlock things in World of Light, they unlock in the rest of your game. There are things, if you've been progressing through the game, after so many things happen, it will just go, here comes a new character, and whoever you're using will all of a sudden have to fight that character to unlock them. There's always different ways of doing it, and you've got to bulk up your roster. I've been playing this for over 10 hours, and I am nowhere near to completing my roster yet. And Yeah, I've only just unlocked Ryu today, and now, you know, things are getting serious.
I mean, is this, if you're completely new to the Smash franchise, which I am, do you need a lot of familiarity with the previous games to get your real money's worth out of this, or are you good to jump in if this is your first Smash experience?
I think, yeah, this is a perfect one to jump in because there just is so much stuff and you're getting your bang for your buck. But the beauty of Smash Brothers is they kind of, when they started the Smash Brothers game, the very first one on the 64, they kind of alluded to, they went, okay, all these characters are toys, you're a child playing with your toys, and your imagination is what this fight is. And they've never alluded to that again in the other games. So... they've gone as far as go, these are little collectible characters in the real world, these are amiibo, these are little, like, but they never actually really explain what they are. And only in one of the games have they really put in a story mode, which is the Subspace Emissary. They've put something similar to that, because one of the things I missed, one of the things people complained about, on the Wii, which I really liked the Wii version, is they added the story mode. But it was, there's kind of a sort of narrative that you're following. All it is really is you're going for a quest to unlock different characters to stick in your roster. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people hated it. And now at this point, since the Wii U version came out, everyone went, oh, why didn't they put a story mode in like they did with the Wii version? I really liked that. No, you didn't. You're liars. You all complained about it and they took it out and then you complained it was gone. So now they put this new version in and it's not as big, heavy in cutscenes and stuff. I think there's 3 cutscenes in the whole,
What's the premise of the story mode? Is it just you're wondering about meeting dudes?
There's a big thing in the sky, and it summons bosses called Master Hands. These big hands that you fight in every single one of the games now. But it's like an army of them, and the entire roster of characters of Smash Brothers all have to fight them, along with other characters that have never been in the rosters. And then basically all the Master Hands turn into some kind of light, and then those lights zap all the characters and they get Thanos'd away and turned into spirits. The main playable characters, they get turned into like stone, and they make clones from these stone characters, and then all the spirits basically possess them and make these evil clone versions of them. And then in World of Light, you go through this open world map and then have to fight different clone versions of the characters to unlock them. Now, where that's cool is all the different spirits are characters represented outside of your Smash Brothers roster. So it might be from Nintendo properties, it might be from like Sonic the Hedgehog, Final Fantasy, there's Resident Evil, like loads of really random things thrown in there. And the versions of the clones that you fight are inhabited by these spirits, so they get traits from these characters. So, for instance, you can fight a Snorlax, and Snorlax is basically King K. Rool, but he's grey, and he's massive, and he doesn't move, and he just takes a lot of hits, and you've got to beat him up in a certain time limit. Kind of like the car from Street Fighter. And then speaking of Street Fighter, like, there's this open-world little map that you just follow your character around to the next fight, and at some point I found a plane, I get on the plane, and all of a sudden I'm in Street Fighter. I've got a little plane that's flying to each country to do the next fight, and all nice. Those fights are represented by Street Fighter characters. So there's a Chun-Li and a Blanka and a M. Bison, and all they're just different roster characters that have a spirit, means they take traits from different characters. So Blanka would be Donkey Kong, who keeps spinning and spinning and spinning, and like, all using electrical attacks and stuff. So yeah, there's loads of things going on there in the World of Light itself, but it's not really heavy in the story. I think there's 3 cutscenes in total, one at the start, one at the middle, one at the end. But I've heard that it's worth getting through to the end. I just haven't looked it up to see what it is because I want to do it myself. But yeah.
Is that single player mode kind of enough to keep you going, even if you haven't got a house full of your mates who you'll regularly play Smash on the couch with?
I'd say yes. I mean, the secret is I love Smash Brothers. I bought every Smash Brothers game. I rarely play multiplayer in Smash Brothers. I love playing it in single player and just going for the characters. Yeah, I know. and I'm not actually very good. As much as I love them, I'm not that good at fighting games.
Is that why you want me to pick it up? So you're going to have someone equally terrible?
No, and I'll get to that in a second.
No, he
as
wants
well.
Someone worse, Dan. That's what he wants.
outside of the world of, like, you've got like your regular classic mode where you just take a character and then you fight through a load of enemies and bosses and stuff. And then there's some interesting bosses that aren't included on the roster. For instance, there's a Monster Hunter level where you have to fight Arathnos, the giant winged, almost like a dragon griffin type thing. And weird stuff like that that I'll leave a lot of these secret, but yeah, these weird bosses that they aren't represented in the game at all, and all of a sudden it's like, why is there Monster Hunter? Nothing has said Monster Hunter in this game at all. There are no Monster Hunter characters. Now there's a Monster Hunter boss. I don't know what's going on. It's mad and brilliant. And I love that kind of stuff. So
no, I did see a Game Boy thing was represented at some point as well.
Mr. Game and Watch.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, no, I saw an actual Game Boy thing as well.
Oh, okay.
So I came across that, but yeah.
Yeah, there's loads of really cool things to find out like that. And it's just a game that's full of Easter eggs as well. And for anyone who's like Tim especially, you said you don't like Smash Brothers. It's not a game mm-hmm. for you. You like proper fighting games, not platformer fighting games. And I think if you took a look at this and went through all like the history stuff they've got on there, like the jukeboxes and all these beautifully made stages and stuff, you would go, why aren't they doing this with Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Where's all this love and attention into this fighting game that I don't particularly like?
Well, that would be something that would be nice to see. But it's something where I could happily see me messing around playing with you,
ooh,
maybe borrowing it,
ooh,
playing
hello
it at some point.
Hello? Can we play the
Slash
game afterwards?
BRB UK style.
All good. I have a question though.
Yeah.
Like, it's generally Nintendo related and related to this and their other games. What is their problem with the middle of the word brother or brothers in this
Bros
case? Yes.
Well, they really like the band Bros.
Yes. It's also quite a common abbreviation, Tim.
They could just, you know,
Mario Bros.
I think after all the years, they'd bother with the whole word. That's all I'm saying.
No.
I think in this modern climate of 2018 going on to 2019, we should be calling it Super Smash Brothers / Sisters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Super Smash Siblings.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you asked about the playing online, Dan. It's not great at the moment. They've got to do some serious working on that online mode. A friend of ours asked on Twitter if I wanted to play online, and I thought no, because it plays like ass.
Really? Is it like just laggy, or
it's laggy? The matchmaking's not great. I don't know. I don't play a lot of fighting games online, but I thought I better so I can talk about it on the show, and I just couldn't get along with the online at all.
I would have thought, like, how early after release did you try playing it online?
2 days.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I reckon the first few weeks of trying to play that online are going to be a much higher traffic than the following period afterwards. So I can imagine
and
it would have been bad at first and not as bad as it is.
Hey,
I'm
well,
not
at least online multiplayer on the Switch is free, though, right?
Yeah,
hang on.
I think the big problem as well, the reason it's getting so much criticism outside of its netcode is there's... as you can imagine with Smash Brothers, there is a big like competitive scene on Smash Brothers, big professional fighting scene going on, Evo and all that stuff. Mm. Lots of Twitch streamers and what have you, to actually get the mode where you can go, right, turn off all the items, limited to this many characters, don't have your spirits equipped and all the stuff that you want to play with. You have to do so many like random matches first before you unlock any of that.
Right.
So you have to go through and like play 4-player matches and have ridiculous amounts of items or just Pokeballs and assist trophies and what have you.
That was Pokeballs, not you've got to poke your balls to one. Unlock any
I could be
characters
doing one while I'm saying the other. You never know.
Well, you could be. I mean, that's just showing off Coleman, quite frankly.
Yeah. But anyway, the online was never for me. I didn't like the online in the Wii version. I didn't like the online in the Wii U version. I don't like the online in this version. I'll probably go back to it at some point.
Neither
but
does Nintendo, so
yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I love Smash Brothers, and this is the perfect Smash Brothers. It's just got everything in there that I want. I say that. I could have done with like a proper Subspace Emissary, the story mode again with all the cutscenes and things like that, because I really
isn't that
enjoyed
Ben
that.
Sisko?
What?
So Deep Space Nine.
Oh, I don't know. I don't Star Trek.
You don't Star Trek.
No.
I have said Deep Space Nine was never really my Mojo.
No,
My mum used to watch
it. It's the best overall, like, long-term Star Trek story, even though some of the bits in between, I will accept, aren't as good as others.
Right.
The actual story, end to fin, and the last couple of series, really good. Anyway, but yeah.
Anyway.
Let's put that aside.
Thanks for derailing that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's really good. Play it.
If I picked it up, would you play online with me, Colm?
I'll have a go.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee it'll work.
Stress test the online.
I'll tell you what, when that new line's finally opened up, I'll get a train to Slough, and then we can connect locally.
So anyway, it's official. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. I have a question.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The logo thing, the circle with the two lines in it, what's that about?
Don't know.
What is that
Why
about?
Is it that? Because it looks really, you know, artistically horrible, I think.
I honestly don't know.
Don't you? Why not, Coleman?
Every time I see it, I think... That person can't draw the Fantastic Four logo.
Oh, sorry. I did forget to mention one thing.
Okay.
There's new characters. There's new characters that haven't been in Smash Brothers before. I haven't got a lot of them. I've only got Simon Belmont and the Inklings.
Has Simon Belmont not been in there before?
No. Simon Belmont, I think he's going to be really fun once I get the hang of him, but at the moment he's really... I'm finding quite difficult to use. But the Inklings are probably one of my favourite characters in the game now.
Ooh.
They play so well, and they've got this... They fire ink, like in Splatoon, but then you can run out of ink, and then you have to duck into your own puddle and
just like
recharge
this.
Like in the game, like in Splatoon.
Awesome.
I really like that. And like, you've got big power moves where you can throw like ink bombs, and they just like get saturated in orange or blue or whatever color. And they seem to have represented like every single one of the colored characters as well.
Oh,
so,
man, this game really sounds like so fun. I might have
and running
it.
Over when you've got like three people lined up, you just pull out your giant paint roller and roll over them because they get stuck in the ground. Just flattens them like a steamroller. It's brilliant. I love it.
Oh, might have to cut this game. Well, so there we go. That is Super Smash Brothers Ultra. Coleman's been playing it. I've got a feeling by this time next week I probably would have played it as well, because I think I might get it.
Woo!
Because it sounds all of the fun times. But that's probably it, because we're running out of time. But Timothy, I've consulted my calendar.
Yes.
I took her for a drink on Monday. What are we going to go on? What we're going to do on Tuesday? Me and my new lady friend.
I'll derail your Craig David reference to bring things full circle. Just because I'm still disappointed, I didn't get to talk to football about football to you 2 weeks running, because you know, I had a plan. It was well executed.
Was it really?
No, not really. Not even sure I talked about football last week. But anyway, right.
So I took it for a drink on Monday.
Yes.
On Tuesday, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do on a Tuesday, Tim? Goddammit. What do I do?
Each and every Tuesday, apart from after this Tuesday this year. But anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday throughout the year, or 50 out of 52 or so, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday, where each and every week we have a different board or card game, and you can play that game and possibly then win a copy at the end of the evening. This week it's extra special because we have 5 new games debuting at the bar, possibly 6. We also have a kind of a theme of world discovery this year. We've got like games from different creators throughout the world. Three or four, and I've lost count now. I think 4 of which you can win, and we've also got 2 other games that are just new to the bar that evening as well. So yeah, it's going to be a really good one to come along for. Lots of games to win, and you should have a pretty good chance of winning a good prize generally on the evening. It's been pretty good last couple of weeks, except for last week was really quiet. Like, it meant I got to play a few games, so
a
I was
little
quite happy.
Too quiet.
I expect this week's one to be a bit busier, so you might want to come along a bit early. But it also, as I kind of mentioned, will be the last Tabletop Tuesday of the year.
Whoa.
We'll be returning in January, and we'll update things when that comes back. But yeah, basically, this is our big Christmas event for the year. Should be quite good fun. Should be lots of prizes to give away, and lots of other stuff to come and join in. So if you want more details, there is more details, or there will be by the time this podcast comes out, on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com. And you can search Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com to join our meetup group, or find more details there as well.
Good.
Splendid. And do you know what you're doing the Tuesday afterwards? Christmas is what you're doing. Is what you're doing. So that Tuesday's not wasted, and the Tuesday after that is New Year's Day. So, you
all
know,
goods.
we're not letting you down, actually. In fact, we're just maximising the amount of time, maximising the usefulness of your Tuesdays by having it on Tuesday. True
and
story.
And then you can get over the whole, oh, God, it's back to work in January thing by coming along to Tabletop Tuesday the following Tuesday as well.
Mm. Ooh, so there we go. But anyway, that is your lot. I'm afraid there's no shout-outs because we forgot to look at them.
Sorry.
We're bad mans. We're bad
stuck
mans.
At work.
Let's shout out
but
everyone.
To make up for it, because it's Christmas, I'm going to give a game away.
Woo.
So what you need to do, you need to have a PC and you need to have a Uplay account, and then you just need to put this in. EWY4MM93RBB8XKU6. First come, first served. You're going to get a marvellous surprise.
Now read it phonetically.
Echo, whiskey, YOLO.
Nope.
YOLO.
No, no. Start again.
Echo, whiskey, Yankee, four.
Mike.
Mother.
Mike.
You're going to say mother.
Nine, three.
Romeo.
Romeo.
Bravo.
Bravo. Bravo. Eight. X-ray. Kappa.
No.
Isn't it?
Kilo.
Yeah.
Kilo, uniform, six.
There you go. Remembered his...
going to go with umbrella.
Almost remembered his phonetic alphabet.
I don't... Well, I really rarely have to use it. I just say letters like
you're British,
person,
you have to know
it. Freak show.
What if you get a CB radio and you need to talk to coppers?
What if there's an actual apocalypse there?
Echo, whiskey, Yankee, four.
With the rest of the survivors.
Mike, 9-3.
Over.
Or if I just wanted to sound like a numbers station in my spare time.
You got to remember, you got to say over at the end of a sentence, you got to talk in phonetic alphabet, and you have to make spit noises with your mouth.
Yeah, and I have to breathe heavily down the telephone whenever you use a normal communications method. But anyway, we digress.
Mike, 9-3, Romeo, beta, beta, 8. Over.
It's not beta, beta. Bravo, bravo.
Bravo, bravo, 8. Over.
There we go. So anyway, so it was Echo, whiskey, Yankee, 4.
I don't think
Mike,
we need to
Mike,
go there
9,
again,
3.
Dan.
Romeo, bravo, bravo,
now,
8. X-ray, kilo, uniform, 6. Shove it up your ass, Coleman.
Tim is shouting over you.
Anywho.
Okay.
That's your lot, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's been a show. It's overstayed its welcome, much like your in-laws on Christmas Day.
It's the last proper episode of the year. Of Big
Say
Rebel
it
UK.
Ain't so, Coleman.
As in any of our episodes are proper.
Well, we're going to try sort
of
out some...
Don't you mean Bravo, Romeo, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo?
I'm going to regret asking it to do phonetic.
We are not going to be spelling the rest of this podcast, Dan.
Yeah, so this is the final, like, full fat episode of the year, and we're going to try put some special tidbits to go out in our place while we're off on our hollybobs.
Tidbits.
I mean, we're not off on our hollybobs yet. We still have to record them, so that's the thing. But yeah, we'll do our general end of the year, what games we liked and all that kind of stuff. And
mine's going to be Destiny 2.
I still have to look up the predictions from last year and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's time to do predictions.
Yeah. And I've been working on something all year round that might come to fruition, might not.
What?
You don't know. If I've got time, we'll see.
I know it is.
Should I be worried about this?
Yes. Probably.
Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Anyway, that's everything. Also, bigredbarrel.com, we've got new movie reviews that are looking really nice. Go give them a read if you want to.
Yes, you should.
If you want to know all about Creed 2 or the Mowgli or Aquaman. Those are all recent.
But so make sure you head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or there's others, I'm sure.
Just put Big Red Barrel into Google, that'll come to us.
What? Yeah, and hopefully you get us.
Or Bing.
Big Red Barrel TV on YouTube, Big
Why
Red Barrel on Reddit.
Why would you search Bing, Tim?
If it's good enough for Spider-Man, it's good enough for me, all right?
Yes, in fact... That is, thankfully, that is the top one on certainly my search anyway.
Spiderman.com/bigredbarrel/bing/bigredbarrel again/
All the slashes.
All the Spider-Men.
All the slashes, including one from Guns N' Roses.
#Spider-Verse.
Also, it's out now. Go see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because to reiterate,
hashtag Sonic Wolf.
Awesome.
Can we please stop this now?
No.
SonicWolf.com / Big Red Barrel.
Make it stop.
/
hashtag
Sonic
Game Awards 2018
fan fiction /
Oh, I tell you what is on there, and I'm going to throw some shade at some of our colleagues here. What is on the related searches to Big Red Barrel is what happened to the Big Red Barrel cast.
Yeah, I've read that. Wrap it up.
All right, okay. So I've been Dan.
I might have been Tiny Tim, as it's Christmas time.
Oh, God.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And to all, happy Super Smash Brothers Ultra.
Or I'll go and buy it.
I have
sure it's Ultra. I'm
telling
fairly
you
sure
to
it's
buy
Ultimate.
Super Smash Brothers
Ultra. I am
Ultra.
Fairly sure it is Ultimate.
Do you want some of the characters?
I think it is
all
Ultimate.
All of the characters, Dan. All of the characters is £82.
Ah, and you can also get Fallout 76 for only £23. Bloody hell.
Sold!
You can buy four copies of Fallout 76 for the price Sold. Of the massive
was
version.
£42.37,
of...
now it's £23.99.
I'm not even sure I'd recommend it at that price from what I've heard.
No,
I mean,
that's still about £22
too
expensive.
Say, for as much as we've taken the p*** and they deserve it, I have seen people say they enjoy it here and there, but hey.
Let people like things.
Yeah.
To be fair, you will be able to find... If you look hard enough, long enough on the internet, you'll find people who enjoy anything, to be fair.
That is also true.
Some people like getting kicked in the dick.
They love it. They love it. Especially when the person takes a run-up. They absolutely go mad for it.
People listen to Coldplay and vote for the Nazis.
I'm not sure the Venn diagram of those two things has a large crossover. But, okay...
Anyway, we're going to go now. We've already said goodbye, remind you who we are, so we're actually going to disappear and give you back your life. So thank you ever so much for listening, dear listeners, and until next time, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.